were also surprised. We had a plan, Christian had a plan, and Christian won. It was a nice plan. And so many of you here, the day after Rathi Yatra, that's another very nice. Because we heard that Bhakti Chuswami is going to be coming to you, okay? And I'm just writing in this book. We had a thought of a topic that we would like to share with you. He'll express it one way, I'll express it a different way, but it's the same topic. And the topic is, what is ISKCON going into the future? With Srila Prabhupada at the center, and we're all part of Srila Prabhupada's extended family. And what will that look like going into the future? What do we want it to look like, and what will it look like? And so much of what we do today is going to determine what it will look like tomorrow. So the approach that I would like to take is something that came up at our... there's a wing back. Can you fix that? Put it closer?
Yes.
It won't ring back. Okay. We'll keep trying. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Well, I'll start from this point. In the early stages of the Hare Krishna movement, all there was Srila Prabhupada. And he infused in the hearts of some number of faithful followers Krishna Bhakti. And he arranged for those followers to go far and wide. And according to his vision, he established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Even during Srila Prabhupada's time, there was not only diversity, there was some dissension, because this is the age of Kali. And what do people do when they get together? They exhibit some of those symptoms of the age of Kali. Dissension. But during Prabhupada's time, there was unity, to the degree there was unity, because of Prabhupada's visible and spiritual presence with us, amongst us. And then after Srila Prabhupada departed, to the degree that we've been successful to maintain unity within the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, largely it rests upon the followers of Srila Prabhupada, who had his personal association and understood his mood that he imparted unto us. And the Hare Krishna movement is continuing to grow, and to the degree that there's unity, is that Guru Parashraya, the implicit faith in Srila Prabhupada amongst his followers. So many of you, I'm sure, have thought, as I also thought, what's going to continue holding unity in diversity, holding the unity of our Hare Krishna movement together as we go forward into the future? Have you thought about that? I've thought about it a lot. I know Bhakti Chumars has thought about it more than I thought about it. I thought about it a lot. And the expression that I feel and have been sharing, that came up at our North American GBC meeting, one other individual of our membership was saying the same thing. it rests upon the relationships that those who are assembled amongst us today, who are the future leaders, the strength of the Christian conscious relationships that they have with one another. So we're going to speak on the same topics. I'll speak briefly and we'll have some questions at the end. I can draw it. This is our sign that we focus together. So much to be said about loving relationships amongst devotees. One of the points that relates to placing Srila Prabhupada in the center is in collaboration with Shivaram Maharaj, I put together a presentation that I made at colleges to show people Rupa Goswami's teachings about rasa, only calling it relationships. For a public audience, it doesn't know who was Rupa Goswami or any of his language. But it was very simple, and it was very clear. So the punchline is, in order to have a loving relationship, there has to be a spiritual conception of self as spiritual, not the body. And although we have bodies and we have relationships, one body to another body, different persons having different relationships, that spiritual center, spiritual conception must be there. The spiritual conception means that God, in whatever the language of different religions of the world, God is actually at the center of the relationship. Queen Kunti's prayer says the same thing. Very, very simply, and same thing very eloquently. She prays to Krishna, and I'm paraphrasing, she prays to Krishna to remove the material portion of the affection that she feels for her own family and her father's family, and leave just the spiritual portion of the affection that she feels. Not to become affectionless, but to spiritualize fully the affection that she feels. Because the situation is Krishna's leaving Hastinapur to go to Dwarka. I heard Srila Prabhupada explain this in a lecture. See, a woman has two families, her own family and her father's family. So Krishna, when he's in Dwarka, Krishna's with her parental family. So they're very happy. Because she's happy that they're happy because Krishna's with them. But when Krishna's with them, the Pandavas and she are without Krishna. So they have a calamity or two, Krishna comes. And then Krishna's with them and they're happy. So she knows that her father and his family, they're feeling unhappy. So she's torn between whose happiness she wants. And she can't go with Krishna back to Dwarka because she's the mother of the Pandavas and just inherited the throne, so she has to stay. She wants to be with Krishna. And she wants Krishna to be with her family or in different places. It's tearing her apart. So she prays to Krishna, please remove the material affection that I feel for my family members and leave only the spiritual portion. Or the teaching that we have from Narada Pancharatra, Sarvabhati Vinirvokam Tatkaratena Nirvam. Removing all the identification with designations, but the spiritual portion, let that remain. And then we can have loving relationships. So that if we don't have that, we'll have dissension. And dissension breaks things. So how to have loving relationships in this age of Kali? We need this central point. elaborate a little bit. I know a devotee couple that was having some dissension. She's a very nice devotee. He's a very nice devotee. They normally get along, but sometimes they would have dissension. And it would be very painful for them and those dear to them, their children included. So they tried this and that and the other thing, and finally they found something that worked very well, and they complimented the devotee counselor who helped bring their marriage to a very peaceful situation. They did a fantastic job. These are wonderful devotees. He said, I kept telling them they're wonderful devotees, but they would have dissension. But the thing that worked was, I just referred to the last line of a prayer that Mother Teresa had on her wall in her place in Calcutta. In the last line, because of time, we'll go through the whole thing, but the last line was a series of things that if you try to act selflessly, some people will call you proud. Act selflessly anyway. If you create something with your whole life that's something very wonderful, within a short time someone can destroy the whole thing, create something wonderful anyway. And it's a whole series of these. And at the very end, if there's some difficulty in a relationship between you and another person, don't worry, it's between you and God anyways. And so there's this relationship that we all have intrinsically, eternally, with Krishna. We've forgotten. And when we forget, dissension prevails, especially in the age of Kali. And if we remember, it takes away all that angst, all the grief, all the turmoil of the dissension. Because we're together in a relationship because of our shared love for a common person, Krishna. And where did that shared love for the common person, Krishna, come from? For all of us in this room, this matter, Prabhupada disciples or otherwise, it came from our founder Acharya. So, if we can our wish today is to share this message with all of you. Establish loving relationships amongst one another, not just somebody outside of the room or somebody other than the person sitting next to you, whoever that may be. But the message of Krishna Bhakti is to develop love for Krishna. And one of the most pleasing things to Krishna is that you serve Krishna's devotees in a loving way. That pleases Krishna. We were discussing some other possible topics. One of them was Lord Chaitanya's instruction to devotees who were departing from Puri, going back to the place of residence after their 4 months spent with Lord Chaitanya. And one question was, as grihasthas, we don't know what is our duty. Can you please instruct us? What is our duty as a grihastha? I see there's a few grihasthas here. And some that are on their way. So what's your duty? Lord Chaitanya said two things. Always, as far as possible, chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. And whenever there's some opportunity, serve the devotees of the Lord. This is your duty as a grihastha. How important is this service unto the devotees and services with a loving mood? And how do we develop that loving mood in the age of dissension and quarrel? We need spiritual purification of our conceptions of who we are and what happiness is and what service is. And the medium or the instrument, the person who is bringing that into all of our lives is our founder, Acharya. There are different agents, representatives of him in this large spiritual family that Prabhupada created. by giving the seed of bhakti to some and to many, and continuing to do so through his Bhaktivedanta purports. Just recently, there's so many different examples of this, but just recently I met a family that they, because of the living circumstance, I forget exactly where it was that they lived, but they lived in a very remote place and they didn't have any devotees association, they had Prabhupada's books. They read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, the entire family, husband, wife, and two children, they're together. They read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, and they're all chanting 16 rounds. All of them, the children also chanting 16 rounds. And finally they moved to a place where now they have association of devotees. But just through Prabhupada's association, through his books and his instructions. Very wonderful family. And so many such persons who have received Prabhupada's mercy, and all of us included, in one form. I mean, you know, it's wonderful to hear the stories of how he came to Krishna consciousness. But from that place that we receive our mercy, we rightly should feel some gratitude. And when there's gratitude in the heart, then you do something. You act with the mood of gratitude, with the mood of love and appreciation for that which you have received. And one of the things that Srila Prabhupada asked of all of us many times and up to his practically his parting words was, your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate together after I've gone. And the cooperating together isn't just tolerating, it's exchanging loving feelings with one another after I've gone. And so, in one sense, one of the things that we're sharing with all of you is, when we're gone, please work now on that quality that's needed to carry on the Hare Krishna movement that Prabhupada created with unity and spiritual vision on the strength of those loving relationships amongst one another, with Prabhupada as the head of the family, the spiritual ISKCON family. And one of the things that you can meditate upon, look at some picture of Srila Prabhupada smiling very broadly. Just meditate on that. You will please Srila Prabhupada very much. And I met one devotee recently who is the grandson of one of Prabhupada's disciples, and he's like the rest of his, other than his grandfather, the rest of his family members have not really taken up Krishna consciousness, sadhana bhakti, very seriously. But he really wants to, and his wife really wants to, and they're really excited to, like, follow the path that their grandfather set for them since he was 5 years old and learned so many things about Krishna consciousness. And they said, I bet you can see your father smiling. Just to know. So for him, it's his grandfather, but for his grandfather was Srila Prabhupada. And for the Hare Krishna movement, it's Srila Prabhupada, that we wish to please very much. See him smile by your efforts to please him by cooperating together and establishing nice loving relationships with one another. It's Kali Yuga and it's challenging. What's life without some challenges? Except this one, it makes you the Prabhupada very happy. And help hold and further expand the unity of the Hare Krishna movement and the dynamics of the Hare Krishna movement. This is your legacy that's being passed on to you, your ongoing lifelong service. Or founder of China. Thank you.
Omo Gyanati Ramdasya Gyananjana Shavakaya Chukshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamanyam Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Rupa Maharaj is very thoughtful, very organized, and very methodical. I was just considering that this presentation is so well structured and so profound. At the same time, I was considering my situation. I'm just the opposite. And on top of that, I'm jet lagged. Anyway, I'm just trying to take a cue from Maharaj's presentation, maybe that will make things a little easier for me. Maharaj pointed out that ISKCON is an extended family. In India, at least during my childhood, I grew up in a joint family. Those days, all families were joint families. There was no consideration of joint families. We were naturally, a family meant everyone together. And when I recall what our family structure, I can remember my father had six brothers. And they all lived together. And some of the brothers were more successful than the others. And but we, the children, did not get to know who is more successful or who is less successful. Because whatever they earned, they just gave it to my grandmother. And all the children got the same treatment. It's not that the rich brother's son got a special treatment. Or the point here is that they all were brothers. And that was holding them together. And how do brothers become brothers? With the father in the center. So that is why it is so important in ISKCON that we recognize the Prabhupada's position. Like ISKCON is a family with Prabhupada in the center. And that's why Prabhupada's position as the founder Acharya of ISKCON is so important. Prabhupada is not only the founder, but Prabhupada is the Acharya of ISKCON, meaning Prabhupada is the Acharya. It's a spiritual institution, and in that spiritual institution, Srila Prabhupada's position is unique and will always remain so. Now, why do we need such a family? We need the family, we need an institution. This institution has to be like a family. It's a family. That's how our unity will be real and effective. Otherwise we may be together, but we won't really be united in a real sense. In order to be united, in order to see and united ISKCON, we need to establish or we need to recognize your proper position as the Father. And then everything falls in place, we'll find. Everything will fall in place. With Prabhupada in the center, Prabhupada's disciples will become our brothers. And their children, their followers, their disciples will become related to each other as cousins. And in a family, I'm sure those who have the experience of joint family, you know more the merrier. It's more familiar. More the uncles means more chocolates. The father didn't give the chocolates, the uncle gave the chocolates. Father gave the stick. I remember when my father used to chastise me, I used to just cry at my uncle's lap or my aunt's lap. And they were there for me. That is how an institution like ours should be. It's very important. Now I was just considering that point. Why it is so important that we need an institution? Previously, spiritual activities or spiritual life was very personal and very limited. Like Guru used to have his ashram, and those who wanted to study under him, they used to live in the ashram. When somebody wanted to take to spiritual life, he used to leave home, go and stay in Guru's ashram. And the structure was small, and the Guru used to guide the disciple, and then the Guru used to hand over the legacy or the ashram to one of the successors. He used to appoint a successor. And that's how it used to be. But recently, in the recent past, that means from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who actually revived Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement, we see an emphasis on foreign institution. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave the blueprint of that structure in the form of Namhat. Although he could not implement it, but he gave the structure and he emphasized the importance of that. Why we, that we need an institution, we need a structure. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and gave it a shape in the form of his Gaudiya Math. But unfortunately after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance, Gaudiya Math disintegrated. Although individually they are carrying on with their spiritual life in their small respective ashrams, but that massive preaching that was going on during Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time that stopped. And then Srila Prabhupada came. And we can see that Srila Prabhupada also put so much emphasis on the need of a structure, and he created ISKCON. Prabhupada did not really promote himself. When you see, in the mid-60s, when Srila Prabhupada came, many other gurus also, many other spiritual personalities, also came to the West to preach. But all their establishments were centered around themselves. All those institutions were named after themselves. But when you see Srila Prabhupada's institution, not only it was not named after himself, Prabhupada was not even in the forefront. In a way, Prabhupada was actually pushing the institution from the back. And he named it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada may want to make it clear that this institution is not his institution. This institution is Krishna's institution. This institution is made to establish the identity of Krishna. When Prabhupada named the institution as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, many who were involved at that time, including the lawyer, suggested that don't call it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, rather call it the International Society for God Consciousness. And Prabhupada asked why. He said, well, because people do not know who Krishna is. So in order for them to understand properly, call it the International Society for God Consciousness. But Prabhupada said, no, I have come here to make them understand that Krishna is God. And so that makes Prabhupada's mission absolutely clear. Prabhupada came to teach this world who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. People may believe in God, but they do not have any understanding of God. People may say, love God, but they do not even know who He is. Therefore, to make this point, to make this issue real, Srila Prabhupada established this institution, which actually is the extent, which is actually the continuity of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Gauriya Math and the ultimate manifestation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Navanatha. That's what ISKCON is. In simple words, we can say that from the ruins of Gauriya Math, Srila Prabhupada actually revived the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Prabhupada himself made it clear, why do we need this? Because one person or a few persons with their respective endeavors cannot continue this mission of establishing Krishna consciousness all over the world and maintaining it. In a way we can see that Gauriya Math, the way it went, it was actually necessary for us to see the consequences of an institution, if it falls apart, if it disintegrates, if it breaks, it loses its potency. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Gauriya Math was so effective. Those days, about 100 years back, about 80 years back, they had 64 temples in India. When communication was practically non-existent in India, like he had established 64 centers. But after he left, what happened? And not only 64 temples were established, but they were so effective, they were so vibrant. Krishna consciousness movement was spreading, like attracting all kinds of important people to this movement, not only the number, the quality of people that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur attracted were amazing. That was the effectivity of his mission. But after he left, they lost that potency. The institution lost the potency or effectivity. Why? Because they did not remain united, they become divided. And Srila Prabhupada emphatically pointed out to us not to make the same mistake that his god brothers made after his disappearance, after the disappearance of his spiritual master. He said, don't make the same mistake that they made. What was the mistake? The mistake is they become divided. Why they become divided? Because they started to think about their own agenda. They were not really tuned in to the agenda of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And through their mistakes, we actually learn. Or Srila Prabhupada reminded us to learn. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, again, just continued the agenda of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. What Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said before he left the planet, Prabhupada emphasized that you just do that. What was that? Manage the society, manage the institution collectively through the GBC. And we can see the result. Because ISKCON is following that instruction of Srila Prabhupada, therefore 34 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, the institution is not only intact, but it is expanding, it's growing. So Prabhupada gave us the perfect institution, Srila Prabhupada gave us the perfect formula, and Srila Prabhupada gave us the perfect process to continue to maintain it. And then we also consider, and I'll say personally, I consider three instructions of Srila Prabhupada is very, very important for the sake of our UBC. One is, no matter whatever happens, don't leave ISKCON. The second instruction that I value in this mind is the GBC is the second instruction is in that line is your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. When Prabhupada was here, as Maharaj was pointing out, that devotees had so much love, so much respect for him. Devotees are prepared to give their lives actually for Srila Prabhupada. They had so much love for Srila Prabhupada. If Prabhupada said anything, devotees would just go out and do it just for the sake of pleasing Srila Prabhupada. And that love was genuine. But Prabhupada actually gave another dimension to his love, our love for him. Srila Prabhupada said, if you love me, then express that love through your cooperation. Because Prabhupada knew how difficult it will be to cooperate. Because in the material nature, everyone is selfish. But in order to cooperate, we have to give up our selfish agenda for the sake of our love for Srila Prabhupada. It will be difficult, but we have to do it for the sake of our love for Srila Prabhupada. And the third point is, the GBC is the ultimate managing authority. And at least for myself, I can say that I have gone through many difficulties in ISKCON. I have gone through various crises. But just by following, just by abiding by these three instructions of Srila Prabhupada, I'm still safely situated here. And now, to go back to that point, why do we need an institution? Because we have a mission to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And in order to make it happen, we have to have a structure. Without a structure, it's not going to happen. Like if five individuals try to preach on his own separately, the effectivity of their preaching and their endeavor will be very little. But when they collectively try to do something, then the effectivity and the potency becomes multiplied by manifold. Again, in Prabhupada's words, Prabhupada once said that in our spiritual activities, one is one, two is 11, three is 111. In this order, the effectivity of our endeavor multiplies. So more we become united, stronger we will become. And in ISKCON, to have it becoming properly established all over the world, which means, we have to deal with not only thousands of individuals, we have to deal with millions of individuals in time to come. Their spiritual life. And we are seeing that the need of a structure, like for example, I'll just give you a simple example. Like, I am giving initiation in, say, America. But how often do I come to America and to how many different places I can go to? Just a few days and maybe to a few places. Now, I have taken the responsibility of their spiritual life. Now, why or how do I dare to take up a responsibility like that? I dare to take up the responsibility because I know that ISKCON is there. I may not be there, but if they are connected to ISKCON, if they remain loyal to ISKCON, if they remain at the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet in ISKCON, their spiritual mind will be protected, their spiritual mind will be safe. So in this way we can see that although we may not be able to take care of all our followers and disciples individually, but through the structure of this congregation, spiritual life is intact. And in return, what am I supposed to do? My responsibility as a spiritual master, as a leader, is to link my followers to this congregation. I simply bring them to the shelter of ISKCON and I know they will be safe, their spiritual life will be safe. Therefore I make it a point to make them take a vow that no matter whatever happens, you are not going to give up the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet in the form of ISKCON. Because that is their safety net. That is not only the safety net, that is their spiritual umbrella. That will protect them from the onslaught of Maya. And we are seeing, also, that's what I was saying, like that we, it's good that we have Gauriya Math as our competitive factor. That although they were extremely advanced, some of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples were very, very advanced devotees. Although they had everything, they had the structure, they had the institution, they had their success to go along with. But unfortunately, because they did not hold the institution and function under the institution, they were not effective. Individually they may have been very qualified, but their individual qualification was not really of that importance or that effective. Whereas in ISKCON we are seeing that although Srila Prabhupada is 34 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, ISKCON is still intact and the worldwide preaching mission is going on. Like we may say, well, things are not as wonderful as it used to be in the past. Yes, we are facing difficulties, but at least ISKCON is still intact. And as a result of that, the worldwide preaching mission is also intact. So that's why we need this institution. Like institution where everybody is going to be protected. Even though our temples may be suffering, but the spiritual life of the members of our movement are unaffected. They are making spiritual advancements. ISKCON is spreading, ISKCON is expanding. That's all because the concept of collective management that Srila Prabhupada gave. And that is one thing that Srila Prabhupada very emphatically established. But we have to recognize one thing on our part is Srila Prabhupada's position as the founder of Acharya, as the head of the institution. And because everybody recognizes that, our movement is still together. These two factors are very important. Actually, that reminds me, these two factors are Srila Prabhupada's position as the concept of collective management to execute Srila Prabhupada's plans, Srila Prabhupada's mission. This collective management of GBC. And that also reminds me that in ISKCON we actually have a policy, we actually have a resolution that says that anybody, irrespective of who he is initiated by or what institution he is coming from, can become an effective member of ISKCON, can become a member of ISKCON. But he'll simply have to accept two things. Srila Prabhupada as the founder of Acharya and as the preeminent Shiksha Guru, and the GBC as the ultimate managing authority. So anybody who accepts these two concepts can become a part of ISKCON, no matter whoever he is. So we can see the need of an institution, and the institution should not be just a mechanical structure, but this institution should be a family. What is the difference between the mechanical structure and the family? Jai Shri Shri Gaurinitai Ki Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman Ki Jai Shri Shri Girikari. So this is how the difference between a mechanical structure, like we have corporate structure, and institute and a family. In a family, they have a heartfelt relationship. In a family, they have relationship established through blood relations. Whereas in ISKCON, we actually have a spiritual relationship which is million times more important and more effective than blood relationship. So that is how we have to see ISKCON as a family. And in that family, we'll become effective only when we recognize that Srila Prabhupada is the center. Prabhupada is the father. And we, Srila Prabhupada in the center, we become brothers. We become related to each other as cousins, and uncle, aunts, niece, nephews. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So as Maharaj mentioned that we want to lead this discussion into a question and answer session, so please feel free to ask questions. We left plenty of room. Actually, we thought that the session would end now, but Madhupati Prabhu announced that the session would go on till 8 o'clock. So That's why we spoke a little longer than this originally thought of. Thank you very much. So any question? Come on. Yes. Okay, what we'll do is, one question will Prabhupada Maharaj answer, the next question I'll ask.
Can somebody switch on that?
It's not working yet.
Not working.
I'll speak loud.
Okay.
My question is about how we can continue to grow. In this movement by using the example of some of the other spiritual / religious organizations that continue to modernize. By doing that, is it possible to maintain the standards and practices of ISKCON that Srila Prabhupada established for us, but still reaching a modern audience? How can we go about doing that and preaching effectively so that more and more people are getting this benefit, so that more people can come and really make progress in their spiritual life?
The topic that you just brought up is something not exactly in those words, but along that line that we spoke about in our North American Temple President and GBC meeting. We originally had allotted an hour and a half. I suggested it's going to be more time. It became 2.5. When we got to our meeting session, it took 4.5 hours. And we decided this should be a central topic that we speak about at each of our meetings for some time. So to respond to your question succinctly is a big challenge, other than saying a few headliners. It's really important. And how to, as Srila Prabhupada did, how to extend the message to different audiences, appropriate for the audience while preserving the essence. In Nectar Devotion, there's this language that Prabhupada uses. There's principles and there's details. Details, according to time, place, and circumstance, can be adjusted. Principles cannot be adjusted. To adapt in such a manner that principles become compromised or concealed, and then suddenly they appear, or maybe don't appear. It's risky. It's extremely risky if the principles become compromised. At the same time, a group of us were involved in an effort for North America called Strategic Planning for our future. One session we had in Los Angeles, we invited a sociologist from the University of California at Berkeley to come and present. And his main message was, if you want to go out of existence as a religious organization, just keep doing the same things the same way. Don't consider the landscape that's changing. Just keep doing the same things the same way. And because as a sociology professor, he gave examples of this, that, and the other thing. And then organizations that became adapted to the circumstance, they're flourishing. How to do that when you don't, principles don't slip through your fingers. That's a challenge. One other little point is a thought that emerged with strong consensus was, when one does what you're speaking about, there needs to be a clear picture of stages of progress and a clear identification of the goal, even if one is at this stage of progress. And encourage people to move from one stage, become steady at that stage and move to the next stage. Something that resonated very much in my Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada said on a number of occasions, and it went very deep inside, is he said, when you've identified the goal clearly, it's very easy to make little steps to reach the goal. If you haven't clearly identified the goal, it's very difficult to get there, whatever the size steps you may try to make. Going back to Bhakti Chumaraj's point of view, if there's to preserve ISKCON and its unity, unity is centered on the teachings of our founder Acharya. So we have to very carefully know what those teachings are before we extend ourselves into different arenas and find that we lost the essence in attempting to reach other audiences. There's so much to say on this topic, though. It's needed. One has to be very careful when innovative reaching different audiences. To careful specifically to keep one's own purity of practice and purpose, and to preserve the principles that as you extend to others. Then it's less risky, safer, and necessary as times change to reach people in different audiences in different ways. Not a short answer. It's a big topic. Thank you for bringing it up.
Their streets live after them, their stands coming out after them. And as ISKCON grows, people are like, oh, ISKCON Krishna. But not necessarily who knows ISKCON knows Srila Prabhupada. So I'm just wondering, in a higher level, what is ISKCON doing to make Srila Prabhupada even more?
Yeah, very good point. And yes, I will admit that we are not doing enough to glorify Shiva.